This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 272 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Good.
Excellent. How was the educational photo show, or whatever it was called, last weekend?
Good.
Excellent. Looking forward to Sydney this weekend?
Yep.
Fantastic. It's going to be a short episode.
Yep. Well, I just thought, you know, after your notes in last week's, I think that you finally got a word in. I thought, well, I'll minimise what I'm saying. I'll cut it down. I'll cut back. I'll pare it back to the bare minimum.
Right. Excellent.
Yep.
So what do you got on your list this week?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Really short. Yeah. No, the education. Look, I tell you, the Educational Photo Expo down here in Melbourne, I tell you what, they had some awesome speakers, apparently.
Was it educational?
I was by far the best that I saw.
Of course. You were the only one you saw.
I was the only one I saw, of course. Of the ones I saw, I was definitely, you know, I was definitely
up there
myself.
Yeah.
I was in the top three anyway. Yeah. Let's put it that way. Look, it was an interesting sort of thing overall, because it was very unusual for the industry to do an event like this to the public, being that, you know, people like Canon and Olympus and Fuji and Nikon and Panasonic were all there,
right?
Which in this day and age is rare, but they were all there with just tabletops with like just a cloth over it and the stuff sitting on it.
So no gadgets to play with.
Well, they had the cameras there and some lenses and stuff.
Okay.
But it was just a table with a cloth over it. There was no big stands. There were no razzmatazz. There were no, you know, 50 staff on hand with, you know, girls handing out show bags and all the razzmatazz.
All the usual trade show fair.
Yeah, and we're on a 12th floor of a building. which is it? Yeah, you got to know that with no street advertising, so you had to know it was there to get there. It was a pay to play. You had to pay to come along to see the speakers, and it was like $25 or something for the day. It wasn't expensive.
So, but was it aimed at the public or aimed at trade?
It was aimed at the public.
Wow.
So it's aimed at the public, which makes it weird that it's just this, you know, little tabletop stuff.
Yeah.
And it's all the industry can afford these days, mind you. So it's not. in fact, I'm surprised they could afford the tablecloth, and the table itself, I thought, was probably out, you know, doing it too much.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, it's a long, far cry from the heady days of the massive stands and the excesses and stuff that I doubt we'll see much of again. I'm led to believe there'll be another big-ish show next year.
Right. Under the same title.
No, it's going to be more back to the normal digital show, the normal, you know, full-on, you know, big stands. But it looks like it's going to be a biannual thing from now on. And then there'll be these little interspersed educational photo expos around the country for other folk to come along to.
Mm.
But, I mean, there's just a touch over 300 people there, so it's not a big event.
No. So, I mean, PMA, you know, used to have, they called the show PMA, but now going by the name the Digital Playground, isn't that meant to move from city to city year on year? So it's Sydney
originally, but there's no money, so no one could even afford to move, you know, from the suburban to one suburb to the next, like no one city to the next. The industry in Australia is fairly fragmented as far as there's the PMA, which is the Photo Marketing Association, which I'm a member of, and then there's IDEA, which is I've got no idea what it even stands for, something digital, I don't know, entertainment, something or other. So it was a good idea changing their name, which used to be PICA, which is the Photo Industry Council of Australia.
Right.
Which is the wholesalers, effectively. So PMA was like the retailers, the framers, all that kind of thing. Yep. Then you have the AIPP, which is the professional photographers, and then you have the PICA, now IDEA, which was the actual wholesaler side of thing.
Right.
And it used to be that both PMA and PICA would do the show together, And PMA would sort of do the conference side, and PICA would do the displays and trade show side, and it's split.
And the generally, they would have the AIPP judging at the same event.
Yeah, and they'd incorporate that because it makes sense because everyone's coming along to that to keep it all. And then PICA decided, no, we're going to do it by ourselves, and kind of decided they wanted to try and get, you know, all these electronic stores involved and become less photo centric.
Right.
Less photo retail centric and more just whoever sells cameras thing. But of course, none of those people were interested in being involved. That sort of fell over. Then PMA took it over by themselves, and that kind of floundered a bit. So it just all became just a big mess, effectively. And yeah, now it's, you know, a little bit of Arthur or Martha. I don't know who's actually calling the shots and the whole thing. But yeah, a lot of it is this combination between PMA and PICA or IDEA. Yeah, but I said, you know, the funds for the industry have massively dried up, so no one can afford to either man the stands, let alone build the stands.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, we will not see the like of it again.
Right.
And a lot of people say there's really no need for a trade show anymore now the internet's so prevalent anyway.
Yeah.
And you look at, you know, if you want to see a new product, you don't go to a trade show and see it, and then a year later those things are available for the public to see. You know, those things are announced and released the same day, sort of thing. You know?
Yeah.
So it's a very different world.
It seems like Photokina is going to remain the flagship trade show for the industry for the year, and everything else is just
going to... That's biannual as well, anyway.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's not. It's only from 1952 onwards. It's been every second year.
Right. But, and that's in Cologne in Germany.
Yes. But see, that's the strange thing is that started out as a showcase for German photographics.
Right.
It wasn't really meant to be a world thing. It was to look at what the Germans are good at their photographics.
Oh, okay.
Of course, that was in the 50s. And then, of course, that very quickly changed in the 60s and 70s.
To becoming Japan. Very
Japanese. And then it shifted from there to Korea and all the other places. So it very quickly stopped. And a lot of the German companies, of course, went out of business.
Right.
So that whole concept of showcasing Germany's prowess as being photographics had to change as well.
Yeah, right.
In fact, Photokina was the very first place Olympus showcased their world-famous OM series cameras, the OM1s, OM2s. Right. But they were going to be called the M1 and the M2. Not many people know this.
Oh.
They were going to be called the M series. But the night before the opening of Photokina, in the early 70s, Leica already had theirs.
Oh,
Leica
okay.
Put their legal department to Olympus's stand and said, we have the trademark for the M.
Oh, wow.
And if you bring these out tomorrow, we'll sue you. So that night, the Olympus guys took all their cameras off display, bolted down to an engraver, and put the letter O in front of all the M's.
Wow.
And that's how it became OM1s, OM2s.
Wow.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
So that was a famous moment in it's a famous, not very well known moment in Photokina history, which is kind of cool.
Very interesting.
So Photokina, I think, will only be the only dominant show. I mean, PMA in the USA, which used to be a huge show as well, that sort of got absorbed into CES, but has no relevance.
Is that the one that is now going by the name The Big Photo Show, or is that something separate again?
What happened is PMA tried running their own show, and then all of a sudden Canon and Nikon said, no, we don't want to come along anymore. And as soon as Canon and Nikon don't want to come along anymore, well, they can't afford to run the show because they're the big sponsors. Of course, Kodak went as well out of business, so that all disappeared too. So they had to try and scramble to find a way to keep some sort of show going. So they signed up to be part of CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, which is the biggest show of its type in the world.
Yeah.
But that thing is so enormous that their little wing got lost. But even still, no Canon, Nikon, no one wanted to display in their wing. They wanted to keep it out in their main area where they were doing all their other stuff as well.
Right.
Yeah, Sony didn't want to have a Sony photo stand when they had this massive multi-million dollar Sony world they had built, and same with Panasonic and so on.
Yeah.
So what ended up being the last couple of years, the PMA show at CES, were all these no-name brands, a lot of these Chinese importers and manufacturers. Right.
Yep.
So there's no pulling power into the photo wing because, well, there's nothing there of any interest.
Yep.
And so, but PMA had signed himself up for a few years to that. And here's another thing. if you want to run an area like that at CES, half of all the money you take in goes to CES.
What?
So it's not a
flat fee.
No, half. So all the money that the PMA is trying to make to keep relevant, well, they've got to give half of it away.
Wow.
Which is why they came up with the big photo show idea, which they're trying to do in three areas around the US every year. I think the next one's in Chicago, from memory.
Oh, okay.
Which is only in October or something. It's not very far away.
All right. Are you heading over this year?
No, I'm actually going off the road for the rest of the year.
Right.
After Sydney this weekend, that's it. I'm if I can, I'm going to be off the road for the rest of the year.
Right.
Tired, mate. I'm tired.
Fair enough.
I've postponed my next US tour, which is for October, and I just want to sort of chill. I was just going to go to CES in January, but I've canned that as well. I just want to take a few months off being away.
I've had enough.
So that's why they started the big photo show, so they could, any money generated, they could actually keep for themselves. And then hopefully they're going to then be able to bring all their conference into line with the big photo show. That's kind of what happened to the US. In Australia, you know, we struggled even more, because what kept PMA Australia going was all the photo retailers, of which hardly any exist anymore.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, if you're reliant on membership to keep your offices open, and there's no members left, your offices are going to be fairly small. So I think PMA Australia consists of one man full time and one lady part time and the accountant.
Right. I don't know if I mentioned to you, but you didn't actually. The Macquarie Shopping Centre, which is the massive shopping centre not far from where I work. Used to have a Paxton's in it.
All right. Yeah.
I say used to because up until about, I don't know, 6 or 8 months ago. And they've gone, and yet, you know, they've I noticed, you know, Macquarie over the last 18 months have been doing this massive, massive expansion of the shopping centre.
Yeah.
Where they've added, you know, another 1,000 car parking spaces and added, you know, room for another gazillion shops.
Yeah.
But for all that, Paxton's have packed up.
But a gazillion shops at what kind of rent?
Yeah, well, exactly.
Realistically, the shopping centres as we know them won't exist in 5 years or 10 years' time. Yeah, they're going to be mostly service centres more than shopping centres. We're not going to go there to do our shopping. We're going to go there to have a haircut and a massage, right, and see a movie and go to a restaurant. And they're going to be this whole centres of for all this luxury time that we have, you know, all this, yeah, this income that we have. Well, you know, we don't need to keep buying stuff because we've kind of got everything we need.
Yeah.
You know, so the shopping centres, so this is the theory that's going around, is that, and if you look at a lot of shopping centres now, you'll see there's a big shift towards this sort of feel stuff than that. The hard, major chain stores and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
And maybe some boutique stores. But, yeah, the cost to be in those places is astounding.
Oh, it's astronomical.
Australia has the highest shopping centre rent of any country in the world.
Is that right?
Yeah, by leaps and bounds.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because the hairdressers in the shopping centre that I generally go to, you know, every 6 or 7 weeks, they were located at one particular end of one arm of the shopping centre, where you would go past them out into one of the areas of the car park. And that particular area of the car park got closed off during the expansion process. And what that meant was that there was no foot traffic coming past their store, because they were suddenly on a dead-end street, as it were.
Yeah.
And it was an area that you just wouldn't go down there unless you knew what shops were down there and you had a reason to go down there, because suddenly there was no way to go through. And I said to them at one point, I said, geez, this must be killing your trade. And they went, oh, you got no idea. And then they got shifted out of their regular little, you know, shop area to another location that was just a temporary thing while the last bits of this expansion were happening, because it was kind of impacting on their shop space. And I said, so how long are you going to be here for? And they went, oh, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, and then we'll be back in the new store with a, you know, refurbished look, blah, blah, blah. And I said, geez, I hope they're giving you a discount on the rent, because the spot they got put into was like half the size.
Yeah.
And it had no finish to it whatsoever. It was just like a blank, you know, canvas. And they went, no, no reduction in rent, no concessions whatsoever. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And the woman that I was talking to, who was the, you know, the woman running the business, she said, you know, it's crap. She said, we've been here for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, they wouldn't care if we packed up and went away, yeah, because there'd be someone else chomping at the bit to take our spot.
Yeah.
Jeez.
unless you kind of have a sexy layout and sexy idea as a business, you're boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just not interested. Yeah, camera stores are boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, to a shopping centre, they don't care. Well, people can do their photos. Yeah, you can do that in any old place. Yeah. Do it online.
Yeah,
and exactly. A store for that. That's the once again, that's the whole shifting trend of everything in our world. Yeah, and that's why places like PMA, why people like Nikon and Canon are basically bankrupt, and yeah, and there's, who knows what future? No, what future we've got, dude. As far as an industry goes, yeah, photography is worth nothing anymore. Yeah, photographers,
yep,
finding it very hard to make money. So that's kind of tough. And
yep,
first world problems. Frankly, first world problems.
Well, I have one thing on my list for this week.
But before we go, because this is kind of a little bit relevant.
Okay.
Which for me is fairly unusual, so we should stick with it whilst we can.
Right.
I want to send out an offer to our listeners.
Okay.
A friend of mine, or two friends of mine, run a very small little boutique printing business.
Right.
Called Small, Medium, Large, Extra Large. SMLXL.
Okay.
But they're not just another lab. They're a boutique. You can discuss your work with them. They can give recommendations. They talk about what finishes are best for your work, and they're a consultative process more than just a give me 10 8x10s, please, sort of thing.
Right.
So
if you wanted to discuss paper types and looks,
yeah,
and
I mean, they're people who are really actually are interested.
Yeah, cool. No?
And the website is www.smlxl.com.au, small, medium, large, extra large.
Nice.
And yeah, Shutters Inc. or Creative Photo Workshops listeners, 25% off.
Wow.
If they mention the listen to us, just as a, I don't know how long it's going to go for, but a little promo, just to, yeah. I'm doing this thing about called shopping local at the moment. You
right.
know, it's trying to support some of our small local businesses that aren't the big mega corporations. They haven't made their squillions in any industry. They're just kind of battling along,
yep,
trying to do something interesting, something good.
Yeah.
And these guys are trying to do that. I mean, the owner has another full-time job he's got to do just to help keep this business going.
Whoa.
So, I mean, it really is a boutique little business by people who are actually interested and care about the fine art process of getting beautiful prints.
Yeah, right.
So, if you're thinking about getting something done, people, look them up and give them a try.
Cool. So, it's not purely a bricks and mortar thing. They can do online handling of orders.
Don't know.
You don't know that much. Okay. Nicely prepared.
You know the sort of person I am, Bruce. Yeah. I know a hell of a lot about a lot of things to a very, very tiny bit of depth.
Right.
I know. Don't go too deep.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
You could have left it at that and we'd have all looked good. And now, down in flames.
It's a great name for a business, though, and I love the URL. That's awesome.
smlxl.com.au.
That's great.
I think that's what it is. I'm just Googling now.
Just looking at the slideshow that they have running on their
It is the right. It is the right web address, is it?
Yeah. It's nice.
Bit of a buns.
Ilford Certified Printer Partner.
Yeah, nice. they've just got some award. There's only a few of them around that's actually certified for this so far. They're nice guys. Two little guys trying to do something interesting with prints.
Cool.
You know, worth a shot.
Cool. And yes, you can send your work in via the website. Awesome.
Yeah, Stuart's the guy I'll probably look after. I've known Stuart for 30 years, I guess. And he's a good guy.
That's funny. His name's not mentioned.
Isn't it? It'd be Landon, would it?
Hang on. There's Chris Farrell, Ian Rolfe, John Walton.
Oh, no, they're photographers who use them and recommend them.
Oh, okay.
You know Rolfe, Ian Rolfe.
I know of him. I don't think I've actually ever met him. We're friends on Facebook.
He's an all right guy.
I'm sure he is.
It's been landscape.
Yeah.
It's nice. No, he's actually a lovely guy. Sure. We both do the circuit of camera clubs doing talks.
You know? Right.
Either he's following me or I'm following him. And, oh, next month we've got a Rolfe. You go, oh, God, he's around. And next month, people are saying, same to Rolfe, oh, we had this great speaker last month. but yeah, look, seriously, if you're thinking about having a print of something, give it a try.
Excellent.
I said, let's try and support small local business a little bit rather than just the mega corporations.
Fair enough.
We'll get to your one thing in a bit. I'll talk about me for a while since it's all about me this episode. You had your shot last week. You get one every 250 episodes too, do you know? Guess what I did today?
What did you do today?
I went shooting sport.
Okay. What sort of sport?
Australian rules football, mate.
Oh, nice.
Well, the training, anyway.
That's not the same thing.
It's not until the weekend. Oh, it is. They were running around kicking a ball at each other. That sounds like sport to me.
Yeah, nah, it's not the same as a bloody MCG full of 80,000 screaming fans.
No, not the same at all. But because up in Sydney, I'm doing this filming for Tamron and doing a whole series of different videos on different types of photography. And one of the ones they want to do is sports.
Right.
So, guys, you realize I'm a portrait photographer, right?
Well, this sport, you know, it's portrait photography.
It's got people in it.
It's fast-moving portrait photography.
Speedy portraits. So I went down there and you're trying to hone my skills of people running around. And now I know why I shoot people. they're hard work, dude. They're hard work, this sport. Because they move around. They don't stand where you want them to. You know?
No.
That was pretty good. I enjoyed myself. They weren't out there very long training, but I had some fun doing it, which was good.
You know, they're right in your face 1 minute, and then they're a million miles away from you the next. You need a zoom that goes from 20 mil to 5,000 mil.
Well, sorry, that's why I shoot with two cameras. I had two cameras. I had my 150 to 600.
Right.
On my what they call a crop sensor body.
Yeah,
so it's effectively like up to a 960 mil focal length.
Wow.
And then my 70 to 200 on my so-called full-frame body.
Whoa.
So, but it's amazing how many skills there are in photography that we just don't use.
Oh, okay.
You know, because as in, I shoot effectively static objects. They might be moving a bit, but yeah, they're controlled objects. So you build a certain set of skills, and I'm pretty darn good at all those skills.
Yep.
But when it comes to doing stuff that is totally stuff you've never done or almost never done, fast moving objects running on all sorts of different planes with unpredictability, being able to, and here's the thing, there's several things I've picked up with sports photography. Not only you need to know the sport exceptionally well. You can't just go and shoot. Like this weekend, I'm going to be shooting some rugby, apparently. I know nothing about rugby.
Right.
So I don't know how you're supposed to shoot something you have not a clue about what the game's even about.
Yeah.
So you need to know a hell of a lot about the sport so you can predict what's going to happen.
Yes.
But the trick I found today is you have to start shooting before your instinct tells you to shoot.
Oh, okay.
So if you're watching action, and you're saying, okay, and even when you know what's going to happen in the game, this guy's going to drop the ball onto his foot and kick it.
Yep.
By the time he starts and you process is happening and you start to press, you're too late.
Right.
You have to preempt their movement.
Yep.
And that's a quite an interesting skill in itself.
Right.
Is preempting something happening whilst they're actually in the middle of doing something already.
Yep.
Yeah. I actually enjoyed myself. I was only shot for like half an hour, but I actually enjoyed myself trying to do stuff that I never do, you know, using different focusing systems, different focusing methods.
Yeah, right.
You know, so that they're shooting before your instinct tells you to, all these kind of things to try and get some shots.
So are you doing selective zone focusing or wide area focusing or?
No, the problem with the wide area, because the subjects are moving so fast, it keeps hunting forward, foreground, background, forward. So there's got to be central spot with continuous tracking focus.
Yep.
But it really limits your composition because of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get all this sort of interesting...
You have to shoot a little bit wider than normal so that you can crop it later.
Yeah, yeah. So there's all these different, all these skills. I mean, my normal instinct to shoot what I want, I can't do.
Yeah.
Because what I want and what they're doing doesn't necessarily match.
Yeah. I pretty quickly discovered exactly the same thing on the rally where it had to be continuous focus, center focus, and then shoot it just a little loose so that you could crop it.
And what about the predictive thing? It's probably a little easier with cars because you know they're going to come around that corner at roughly that spot.
That's it. And in the context of a rally, they're all taking pretty much the same line through that corner. Yeah. So once you've shot the first couple, you've kind of got your idea of how the action is going to play out for each car that comes through. It's kind of becomes a bit predictable. So players on a footy field, a little bit more random.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in Aussie rules, I suppose in rugby, because they could go left or right, but they kind of run in a straight line, don't they? Which...
Mate, don't give them too much credit, mate. They're footy players.
but rugby compared to Australian rules by comparison to rugby looks like Australian rules looks like 100 meters for people with no sense of direction.
Pretty much.
Going every direction, left, right, and center. At least with rugby, some guys are going backwards, some are going forwards. It's a little easier to kind of grasp, I guess. But hey, it'll be interesting to see what it comes like shooting on Saturday.
Yeah,
that's what I'm hoping for, decent weather, because I'm going to be doing these portraits. Now I'm looking for a model. So I can't find a model who'll do shots for free for me. Because Tamron have got this whopping budget of zero.
Yeah, right.
I told the industry's bankrupt.
A male model or a female model?
At the moment, I'll take a model aeroplane.
Right.
Something to take a photo of a portrait for an hour or two.
Okay, to just do some portraits with.
Well, we're doing videos on macro, another one of my specialties. Sports, landscapes,
yep.
It's all great so far. Portraits.
Yeah.
And something else. Maybe I should research that something else one a bit more. There was a fifth one there somewhere.
Maybe you should do wildlife.
To cover the full gamut of Tamron's lenses.
To cover the full gamut of genres Glyn doesn't shoot every day.
Exactly. we're gonna have some fun doing that, I tell you. I'm up there this weekend to Sidley for the digital
digital playground. Yeah.
Careful how you Google that one up. It's thedigitalplayground.com.au if you're looking it up.
Yep.
And then back Monday night, I'm doing my LED continuous lighting photo walk through Melbourne for the first time in Australia.
It's being run. Nice.
And which is going to be a heap of fun. And then afterwards, me and Stephen Frosty, who's a regular listener to the podcast, g'day Frosty, we're going out shooting with a pixel stick.
Oh, that's right. Cool.
And the model. So I've got this idea for some shots. I'm going to bring it out there before we even do it, see if we can make it happen. I'll put the pressure on myself.
Oh, okay.
That I've got these images of the Earth and Jupiter and Saturn that I want to have these things floating in the air through down an alleyway.
Oh, wow.
And then a model in the foreground lit by flash or LED light. I haven't quite decided yet.
Yep.
Sort of being involved with that. And they've got this floating eyeballs idea.
Oh, nice.
And the model's going to be wearing a rockabilly dress with these little pink music notes on it.
Yep.
I want to get pink music notes in the air floating around her.
Cool.
Done with this pixel stick. So we could just, I don't know how long each shot takes to set up with this thing. So I could be being a little ambitious.
Yeah.
Being the photo walk doesn't finish till 9 and I want to do these afterwards. And I like being in bed by 10:30.
Right.
So we're gonna have some fun with that, me and Frosty, on Monday night. So I'm looking forward to talking with that next week's podcast.
I just want to jump back because you were talking about an LED continuous light workshop.
Yeah. So it's using LED continuous lighting, funnily enough, and it's a workshop.
Yeah, right. Like video light panels, those types of lights?
Effectively, a big 600 LED panel battery-operated lighting lights.
Yeah, right.
Got two of those and then a small 161 with coloured gels.
Yep.
And we're going to be doing lighting. We're going to be doing some projecting. We're going to be doing all sorts of fun stuff with it.
Okay.
And as the sun sets and then as the lights in the city comes out, we're going to use those as background light and it should be a fun night.
Cool. Well, I'd be interested to see the outcome from that.
Yeah, I've done them in the US and they're a lot of fun because the great thing about it, because being continuous light, is people can all shoot all the time.
Yes.
As opposed to flash where you're waiting. You're
not having to wait for recharging.
Yeah, now you've got some limitations being that you can't freeze movement of a subject with an LED light like you can with a strobe.
Right.
So, you've got to be a little bit more circumspect. And if you're using, you've got to use a lot higher ISOs than you could probably need to use otherwise. And you have to watch a little bit more for movement of subject. But, it's all part of the, it's all part of the challenge of being able to do all sorts of things with your photos, not just.
Not just one genre. Yeah.
One thing I do all the time. Not the pigeonhole box you've got yourself locked into. Now, I came across an interesting stat today as well.
Yeah.
In Australia, there's 22.3 million people.
Right.
That's not the interesting part.
Right.
But there's 29.9 million active phone subscriptions.
Wow. Wow.
There's 1.2 or whatever phones per person, including babies and oldies, in the entire country.
That is crazy.
Isn't that amazing? Active phone subscriptions.
Wow.
So I thought, wow, that was, with all the hoo-ha, of course, of Apple coming out with their new iPhones this week.
The new iPhone that has the features that Android had in 2012. Cool.
But these are actually built well, dude. They're not plastic. But I did put an interesting little graphic up on Facebook tonight, comparing the Apple iPhone 6 Plus.
The Samsung Note takeoff. Yep.
The iPhone 6 Plus in size to a Fuji X100S rangefinder camera, and the Fuji smaller.
Right.
Now that pocketable camera you used to carry around might actually become your camera again because your phone's bigger.
Yeah.
Which is quite crazy. Funny. And, of course, we've got the iWatch now too as well.
It's not the iWatch.
I know. But everyone's going to call it that, aren't they? They might as well just call it the iWatch.
Yeah.
Crazy. I think there's some sort of weird Apple sort of malicious malware out there or virus out there in the world.
Right.
That Apple launched at the same time they launched their new iWatch.
Yeah.
It's on the same day it was launched.
Yeah.
Both my and my wife's watches both stopped running.
Oh.
I reckon they've put some sort of solar pulse out in the solar system, and they've fried the batteries and everyone's watches.
Right.
Yeah. And boom, that's it. Everyone's going to buy an iWatch.
Yeah, interesting.
You think not?
Yeah, because my watch is still running.
Okay, yeah, but you're an Android person, and they know that. yours has all these little Android germs all over it, which protects it from the virus.
Right, okay.
So what was the one thing on your head tonight, dude?
It was just something that I I should have taken note of who it was. Someone on my Facebook feed posted a link to this, and it was Eric Kim Street Photography Blog, and the title of the post was How to Be Confident and Courageous in Street Photography. And I kind of picked up on it because there's a girl at work who works in the studio next to me, and she's into photography as well, and I know that she does a lot of street photography stuff, and I copied and pasted it and sent it off to her in a private message and said, not saying that you need this info, but just thought you might enjoy reading the article. And so that was what I thought, I'll just chuck it on the list of things to discuss in Shutter Sync as well. So, So the points that he made were, number one, think about the worst case scenario. So the worst thing that generally happens in street photography is someone gives you a dirty look and tells you to F off. It practically never gets physical. have an
practically.
Practically.
So like that. The practically is the it's the exception. Thing is, if you're 6 foot two and look scary yourself, it's practically never gonna get
that's right.
If you're a 60 pound weakling,
yep.
it may. Often.
Yeah well that's true.
It's all relative.
Number two, don't hesitate. When in doubt, click.
Hmm.
Number three, smile.
Oh yeah.
See, now I would have put that at the top of the list.
Yeah.
I think that's your icebreaker right there. So they came under the how to be more courageous in street photography. Then there's the how to be more confident in street photography. One, get to know your camera and focal length very well.
Mm.
Absolutely agree, because there's nothing worse than stuffing around not knowing what you're doing. Number two, have a purpose as opposed to a porpoise.
Yeah.
Number three, work.
That's more beach photography.
Yeah, that's right. Number three, work on a project.
Yes.
So I thought, well, that kind of makes sense. If you've got some predefined plan of, you know.
Well, then people say, what do you want the photos for? And you can tell them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And then there was a conclusion, which I haven't read. So, but yeah, the link will be in the show notes for anyone that wants to check it out.
Yeah, of course, to build your confidence in street photography, check out his free ebook for 31 days to overcome your fear of shooting street photography. There we go. Fabulous.
Just get out on the street for 31 days and you'll be over it.
That's probably what it is. It's a one-page book. It's a one-page ebook. Got 1 point. One asterisk.
Yeah, go out and shoot every day for a month and you'll have got over your fear.
It's funny because, I mean, the talk I did at the Educational Photo Show and the talk I'm doing this weekend in Sydney is on street photography versus street portraits, because I'm not a big fan of street photography personally.
Right.
But I like street portraits, which is one is taking photographs of people doing something.
Yep.
The other one is taking photographs of them, which is a vastly different image. And I really don't have a lot of interest unless what they're doing is so dynamically amazing to want to take photographs of people doing something.
Yep.
But I love taking photos of people.
Right.
Which is a vastly different thing. So it's going through the challenges of that. That'll be available in my 2-page ebook coming out very soon. Let's do it for 62 days rather than just 31.
Right.
You do 31 days of street photos and 31 days of street portraits. But the one thing I'd love to do, and I wanted to do this when I was in India but didn't get around to it, but here is to set up just a little street side portrait stand with a big A-frame sign saying free portraits.
Yeah, right.
And just get people
and then just
nab
people as they walk past.
Come along. Just spend a whole day just on the street as art project, photographing people who stopped to have their photo taken.
Yeah, right.
It would be a pretty cool thing to do. One of these days I'll get around to it.
So with a backdrop, or you just use the building?
Yeah, probably just the I'd like backdrop. To keep symmetry. I'd like a black backdrop.
Yeah, right.
And just be able to, and maybe some way of controlling the light.
Yeah, so if you'd set up under a canopy of a shop so that you know, were under shadow all day.
And use strobe to be able to knock out any ambience.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do in India, set up one night on a street corner with a flash on a stand.
Yeah, nice.
And just shoot anyone who came along to be curious. But, didn't get round to that next trip. So that's a good one. It's a nice little link to put out there for folk who, because I mean, people. You know, one of the first things is people always ask me about street shooting is how do you walk up to a complete stranger?
Yep.
And my thing is, well, what's the worst they can say?
Yeah. Yep.
I stab you with my knife. But usually it's no. And being a fairly unattractive teenager, I was used to the word no. But you ask 20 girls to dance, all it takes is one to say yes.
That's it.
Yeah. Now, there's a musician, I use the word very loosely, a person who sings called Ariana Grande or Grand. Yeah. I don't know who she is. Not a clue. But she was in Melbourne this week doing promotion. I don't know, it was promotional or concerts or whatever it is. But she's become the running joke of photographers and media people here during the course of the week.
Right.
And because when they had the whole press junket of people lined up to take her photos for this particular day, and the first photographer she came up to, the minder came and said, well, here are the rules, okay? The rules are you are only allowed to photograph her left side.
Right.
Only the left side. You are not allowed to use any natural light whatsoever. She cannot be exposed to sunshine. She might be a vampire. Quite. Not allowed to use any form of natural light on her. She must look at every single photo you take as you take it.
What?
And if she doesn't like it, you have to delete it there and then on the spot.
Oh.
So it's click. Let me look. No, delete that. Click. No, hang on a sec. Let me look at that. No, click. So everyone should have walked out at this point. But
absolutely.
But they're all on assignments. So they're going to do it.
Yeah.
First photographer comes along. She has a couple of photos done. Decides she doesn't like her top. Doesn't like the way her top looks in the photo. And leaves to go back to the hotel room.
What?
Half an hour or so goes by. No sign of her. Then a minder comes down and says, no, she's decided she hates the top completely. You have to delete every photograph you've taken so far. And to which he says, no.
Yeah.
And then goes to leave. And her security follow him out and accost him at his car to try and force him to delete the photographs.
What?
Yeah. So they were calling him the biggest diva. And some wit of a journalist sent a letter to the right side of her face. An ode to the right side of Ariana's face. So, yeah, that's just some people. And this kid, since you're 21 years old, you know, take all the publicity you can get.
Exactly.
Anyway.
But maybe that's the whole point, that there's no such thing as bad publicity and that this just generates chatter.
But the thing is, she misses out on so many of her images being out there because no one got to shoot her.
Yeah.
She didn't come back. That was it. She was gone for the day. Every other photographer missed out.
Yeah.
She's, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no such thing as bad publicity, but yeah, you don't want to do that either.
No.
Then I came across today a new Western Digital hard drive, which I thought we photographers are going to love.
Oh, okay.
It's wireless, which is quite, it's a portable, it's a travel hard drive.
Right.
So it's wireless, so you can wirelessly stream your photos to it.
Right.
It's also got a built-in SD card reader.
Right.
So you can just pop the SD card in, it dumps all the photos onto the drive, and away you go.
Wow.
Which is...
So you don't need any, yeah, you don't need a computer screen.
Don't need anything, yeah.
Wow.
Which is awesome, of course. Back in the olden days, the early days of digital, you used to be able to get these little portable hard drives with a screen that you could dump all your photos on when traveling.
Yep.
I kind of like the idea of the screen to be able to see that the images are actually there.
Yep.
This thing doesn't have that ability, so you have to trust that you see the data capacity's gone down and assume, therefore, it's transferred over.
Right.
One scary thing about it was that it has the ability, if you set it up so... it'll take all the data off your card and then wipe your card clean.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'll be too keen on that. That's an option. But wireless hard drive, so you can also stream, therefore you can stream, like if you've got movies on it, onto your TV or whatever, wherever you are, which is kind of cool. But the built-in SD card reader, I thought that's something we guys need.
Yeah. I wonder if you had a camera that had Wi-Fi capabilities, could you be streaming continuously from your camera to your...
I don't know. I don't know if it does an ad hoc network or whether it relies on Western Digital's cloud system. I don't know how their Wi-Fi works. But there's going to be a link in the show notes. If anyone's interested, they can go check it out themselves. Now, the next thing on my list. Something none of us need.
Yeah.
The selfie brush.
What?
Yes. The selfiebrush.com. You can look at this, dude. Go to selfiebrush.com.
I'm afraid to even load the web page.
You must. You really, really must.
Oh, you are kidding. No.
Everybody, pause the podcast, go open it up, and you can all laugh with us simultaneously.
Selfiebrush.com. Oh, my goodness.
Earth is the world coming to?
I'm not even going to describe that.
I don't know if you can. If you wanted to, would you even be able to? And, of course, I put it on Facebook and someone said, oh, you've got one, right? It comes in purple. So I said, I ordered the lavender one.
Nice.
You do. I just, as I said, speechless.
Yeah, that's scary.
Speechless.
That strikes me as a Korean invention.
No idea. And then The next thing I came across, this is a Kickstarter project,
yeah,
but it's a third funded already. For those people who are too tired of carrying around their camera bag and who like to go to lots of places. Okay. It's the MovPack.
Right.
MovPak, MovPack.
Yep.
Which is a it's a powered skateboard backpack. I kid you not. It's a backpack attached to a skateboard that's motorized. So you can load your gear into the backpack.
So the skateboard folds up into the backpack?
Into the backpack.
Right.
Or it becomes a wheelie. You can use one of the wheels as like a wheelie bag.
Okay. So you can tie it like an airport bag. Yeah.
For only $2,000, this is the very
first. Is that all? Wow. That's an expensive backpack.
It's being promoted as the world's first backpack electric vehicle. I'd like to make a bet.
What student's got $2,000 to spend on a backpack?
It's the world's last backpack. just a little stab in the dark.
Yes, for students who are the children of Colombian drug lords.
Exactly.
You can afford $2,000.
You need to get your drugs around quickly.
Yeah, that's right.
You get your stash, or you stash your loot on the way back.
Be your own drug mule.
So that tickled my fancy. Another Kickstarter project that I came across on is from a company called MIOPS, MIOPS.
Yeah.
And they're called the Neuro Trigger.
Right.
And it's a smartphone controllable high speed camera trigger.
Right.
For doing lightning shooting, time lapse. It does all sorts of stuff.
Where does the Neuro come into it?
I think the actual product name is the Neuro Trigger.
Okay, because I've heard of the Neuro Trigger before.
No.
But it may not be the same.
That's when he set fire to Rome, wasn't it?
The same company. I don't know. So this looks very similar to Trigger Trap.
But what astounded me was they were looking for 75,000, and last time I looked, they were already at 363,000.
Well, it's now 377.
There you go. So they're well and surely funded.
Yeah.
Now, I'm assuming this has got to be able to do more stuff than the stuff that's already out there on the market.
Yeah, right.
So who knows? But one cool thing about it, even if you don't have, you can actually program the device as well, not just through your iPhone or your smartphone. You can actually program the chip on it yourself. So it kind of makes me wonder why you need the screen to start with.
Yeah, MIOPS is not the first trigger in the market, but it's going to be the best. You can control MIOPS with your smartphone over Bluetooth.
There you go.
Interesting. Wow.
Wow.
With upgradable firmware. Nice. Yeah.
For the lifetime of it.
Yeah, right.
Which could be 3 weeks if it rains heavily.
I'll have to have a look at that one later.
Yeah, so that's just another one of these things that are changing how we shoot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then I came across a thing as well about the first animal photos that were shown in a National Geographic magazine.
Oh, okay.
1906. And it was the board was so upset by this thing that two of the board members resigned.
Why were they upset?
That their tome, their magazine was being turned into a picture book.
Oh.
They're putting all these photos of animals.
Right.
But what was interesting about the guy who did it, though, was he had this you've got to go see this thing, it's quite amazing. He had like a canoe set up.
Right. Where
at the front, he had this camera, and he'd go hunting at night in this canoe
with
this camera and flash system mounted at the front. He's one of the first people to do flash photography
of
wildlife. And he'd just go down a pitch black river
in
his canoe, and when he heard a rustle, he'd point the camera towards and flash.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and get shots that no one had ever seen before.
Wow.
So that was kind of some interesting stuff.
Yeah, right.
So
exactly what did the original publishers of National Geographic intend the magazine to be if it was not going to have any photos?
Well, it was an educational device.
Right.
It was a stoic journal about the world.
You know,
and they're turning into a picture book. I think part of the reason was the editor at the time was so enamored by this guy's work that he devoted pretty much an entire issue to it.
Right.
And he had like 74 photos in it.
Wow.
And that really got the backup of a few people. So,
right.
So, yeah, but some, once again, considering the time and the technology the guy was using,
yeah,
there's some very cool shots in there.
Because this would have all been flash powder.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so he's doing...
Which would have been painful to work with on a canoe in the dark.
And he said, and every shot he took blinded him for as and the animals for a very fair period of time.
Yeah, right.
He could work again. Yeah.
Why didn't he just close his eyes while the flash went off?
You know, he maybe did. I don't know. But he actually became a board member of National Geographic down the track.
Wow.
So that's kind of interesting.
That's really interesting.
And then the last thing I've got
is
Fuji have introduced a 56mm 1.2 lens with, and here's the killer, an apodization filter built into it.
What now?
Exactly. It's the 56mm 1.2 APD lens. It's an apodization filter, which apparently evens out your out-of-focus highlights and shadows to make them more evenly toned across your bokeh. Yeah, instead of being some parts a little bit too bright, some parts a little bit too dark, it evens out the tones.
How?
It's basically a graduated radial filter built into the lens is what the apodization filter is.
So it's designed to counteract the natural vignetting that you would get?
Yeah, to even out.
Yeah, right.
What a waste of teeth. What a total. Just your can doesn't mean you should. Really? This is what the world needs? This is where photography has to go? Come on. Oh, my goodness.
I must admit, one of my key frustrations with my high-tech 10-stop filter is just how much darker it is around the edges compared with the middle of the frame.
Well, here you go.
Yeah.
Solution right here. So don't you buy a Fuji? Get yourself one of these here apodization filters.
Yes. that's what I need. you didn't cover the other one. You had another one on your list, the 16 organizations that want to fund your photography project.
Yes, something Adam Davison sent through a couple of weeks ago, and it's been on my list for a few weeks. I just never got around to looking at it.
Right.
And so you can look at it.
I'm scanning it briefly at the moment.
There's 16 organizations that want to fund your photography.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll put the link in the show notes. And look at that. I'll pay you to take photos of thongs. Number 10 on the list. Excellent.
10 on the list?
Number 10.
Oh, I haven't looked. I didn't look at this. I've deleted the whole link.
Yeah. Oh. Nicely done. You know, I can see you cared greatly for that story.
My ADD kicked in, dude. It was zoned out after I mentioned it.
shiny object. Dear. And Canon's still out of the top 10 on DP Review.
And Canon's still out of the top 10. So here's the thing.
Yeah.
Canon are waiting for Photokina to announce their new products.
Right. When is it? It must be very soon.
Oh, a couple of weeks. I think, 2 weeks' time or something. A lot of people I know are heading. But for the last 3 or 4 months, their sales have been in rapid decline whilst people wait.
Right.
Is it that important to wait for a show and suffer a massive decline in interest in your product?
Mm.
I would say that you're probably better off. This is, once again, the relevance of the show. It used to be everyone would hang out for Photokina for the new releases or PMA also when they were relevant.
Right.
But now Canon has gone for a 4 to 6 months decline in interest in their products simply because they haven't got anything new and everyone else has.
Yeah, right.
I would say, you know, scratch the show, guys. Yeah, at least announce the product and show it for the first time at the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get people thinking about the product.
So has there not even been any rumors of new Canon products?
Rumors of a Canon 7D Mark II, and that's about it.
Right.
But
that's hardly a flagship body.
No, it's a flagship amateur body.
Yeah.
It's just the top of the range amateur body.
It's not like a 5D Mark IV or something.
No, I mean, once again, the life cycle of those cameras, I'd be very surprised if they were to release something that would replace that just yet.
How long's the 3 been out?
Oh, it's only been out about 2 years.
Right.
So, I mean, they typically have a 3 to 4 year lifespan, these things. So,
right.
But yeah, but only the 70s been out, I don't know, six, 7 years.
Easy, yeah.
Yeah, so that's an awful, in this industry, that's an awful, awful long time for a product to survive.
Yeah. And their 1DX, that is that on version 3 at the moment?
No, 1DX is still on the version 1.
Oh, is it?
So oh, when okay. EOS 1, 1, or 1D, I should say, 1D2, 1D3, 1D4, 1DX.
Oh,
I'm not sure what's going to be there. It's going to be 1DX1. Stupid. But yeah, that's yeah, so I really think that this waiting for the show was really sort of harming their business.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and once again, that could also put the death knell in these kind of shows, because if no one was to wait for anything new to be released, because they don't want that decline in interest in their products and keeping their names to the forefront.
Yeah, I guess if you're a cashed-up company like Apple, you can afford to have sales of your current iPhone drop off in anticipation of shipping 15 gazillion units of the next one. But if you're not quite that flush with cash, then it's got to hurt.
Speaking of 15 gazillion, did you see U2 launch their new album at the show?
I did.
And every single iTunes subscriber got the album free when they woke up that morning.
So did I. But no, I didn't. I have no idea about that.
Half a billion albums shipped, right. Effectively.
Yeah, right.
Biggest album of all time.
Yeah, right.
By 100-fold at least, I'd imagine. 200-fold.
Just because everyone's got it doesn't mean everyone's listened to it.
Exactly. But hey, I've got a few albums at home I've bought that I've never listened to. But it's interesting though. What imagine how much Apple must have paid for U2, which haven't released an album for a while.
Yeah,
to bring their brand new and give it away to half a billion people.
Well, maybe it was a bunch of outtakes from the last album.
I don't know. No, it's supposed to be a whole. Well, I've listened to it a few times. I've got it. I own it, funnily enough.
Right.
Probably about six times. I've got about six iTunes accounts. Oh, I'm actually U12. I've got it.
Right.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It's supposed to reflect an earlier time, and it just kind of, to me, it's a bit of a pity it can't reflect an earlier time when they could write interesting songs.
Right. Right. Okay.
It's been my pugnacious nature.
So are you saying it sounds a little like earlier U2?
No, but that's what it's supposed to sort of reflect back to earlier musicians and more interesting. Yeah.
But it doesn't strike you as being reminiscent of any early U2 that you're familiar with.
Anything different from the last five albums they've put out. Yeah.
Okay. Still,
I'm not a massive U2 fan. Ever since I went to one of the early concerts, like in the early 80s, and hated them. It was such a terrible experience.
Really?
That I've been burned by them ever since. Yeah.
Wow.
I was even offered to go and meet the band, and I turned it down.
Wow.
That's how much I disliked the show.
Wow. See, I still kick myself because in 89, I was working at 2LM in Lismore in the north of New South Wales, and I was offered for $40 ticket to U2 in Brisbane and the bus ride there and back. And at the time, I wasn't really into them in a big way. I was familiar with Pride in the Name of Love. Joshua Tree had come out, but I hadn't bought Joshua Tree, and so I really wasn't familiar with enough of their work to go, oh yeah, I really want to go and see that. Of course, now I go, oh man, you know, because that was the tour. I think they had B.B. King with them, so it would have just been amazing.
Yeah, I saw that one. Yeah, I've seen them about five times, funnily enough. But
yeah, right.
People keep buying me tickets to go see them, even though.
Even though you're not
first,
into it.
That first early experience under a Blood Red Sky tour or whatever it was, just did my head in.
Yeah,
anyway,
right.
Let's leave that for our Picking on Musicians podcast.
Excellent. All right. Well, good to talk to you.
You? Maybe I'll see you in Sydney?
You will see me in Sydney on Sunday.
Excellent.
I will come down. I think it'll be me on my own, in which case I'll ride the bike down.
Yeah. Unless it's raining, then you'll be a bit of a wuss.
Easier to park.
Yeah.
Well,
because of the throngs that'll be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and just the fact that, you know, anywhere near the harbour, it's just a nightmare trying to find parking, so.
It'd be nice to be at Luna Park, though. It'll be
should be good. Well, anyway, I'll give you a holler when I get in the vicinity.
Dude, come and watch my fabulous talk on street photography.
What time of the day?
I have no idea.
Right. Excellent.
So well organized. Check out the website, the digitalandplayground.com.au. Be very careful. You Google that one up. And look under speakers, and there I'll be.
Excellent.
It actually starts on Friday. So it goes Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for those who can be around. Oh, my, the podcast, it'll be over by the time this podcast comes out.
It will, yeah.
So don't bother.
Well, I mean, we did promote it last episode, so hopefully, you know, people will come along and say good day.
I hope they did. I hope you did.
Yeah.
Okay, mate.
All right, mate. I'll see you on Sunday.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Shutters Inc., another audiotoyou.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email the boys at shuttersincpodcast.com.